RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Still broadcasting from the fourth floor of RRI building in Jakarta. Welcome back, listener, on Indonesia Today. This is a program that takes you closer to Indonesia. And now it's my turn, Rahma, to present the program till the next 2 hours with various interesting programs and information that you won't miss. And today's special program of the day, we have a program that reviews newly launched book and film on book film review. Then we have a music program on Meet With. So keep listening at voi.co.id, voi.co.id. Or for more direct link to the video streaming, you can click english.rriworldservice.com. So listener, why don't have to wait any longer to enjoy this next program? This is book and film review from Voice of Indonesia. Check this one out.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia to study possible energy cooperation with Iran. Surabaya to support Indonesia and ease of doing business ranking. Now the news in detail. Indonesia will study possible expansion of cooperation with Iran after lifting of international economic sanction on the Gulf state. Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Sudirman Said stated that Indonesia is considering cooperation with Iran mainly in the development of energy such as oil and gas and renewable energy development. He said Iran could be involved in the development of a number of projects such as petrochemical, electricity and renewable energy projects. Minister Sudirman also said that Iran was also reported offering Indonesian investor to venture in urea fertilizer industry in certain region of the country bordering with on Pakistan. The possibility is greater with a planned visit to the country by an Iranian energy delegation in February to be followed with a visit by an oil and gas delegation from the country. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce of Surabaya East Java Province assesses that the city can determine Indonesian ease of doing business ranking in 2017. Chairman of the Indonesian Chamber of Surabaya, Jam Hadi, has said in Surabaya recently, a survey conducted by the World Bank has shown that Indonesia is ranked 109th out of 189 countries. Indonesia should rise to a world ranking of 40th. To achieve this rank, it needs the support of all the stakeholders. According to Jam Hadi, three major cities, namely Jakarta, Bandung, West Java Province, and Surabaya, East Java Province can act as a reference city that can help Indonesia attain a better EDB rank. Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR Agus Hermanto explained that superior agency of the State Intelligence Board is in line with the law on terrorism that has been passed by the DPR. In his statement before the press in Jakarta on Wednesday, Agus Hermanto stated that the law on terrorism regulates the existence of agency to supervise the intelligence agency. The Intelligence Supervisory Board is contained by members of the House Commission 1 from all fractions and led by Chairman of House Commission 1.
Badan Pengawas Intelijen itu adalah undang-undang intelijen itu sendiri dan juga diatur di dalam peraturan.
The Intelligence Supervisory Board is representation of law of intelligence itself. It is also regulated in the order of house. The law mentions about institution to supervise intelligence, namely the Intelligence Supervisory Board. It is contained by members of existing fractions in the Commission 1 and led by Chairman of House Commission 1.
Sehingga anggotanya adalah seluruh fraksi yang ada, semuanya masing-masing satu, ditambah pimpinan daripada komisi. Ini adalah diketuai oleh Ketua Komisi 1.
Early on Tuesday, Speaker of a House of Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, inaugurated 14 members of the Intelligence Supervisory Board, led by Chairman of House Commission 1, Mahfud Siddiq. It contains with other 13 members of the House Commission 1, namely Tantowi Yahya, T.B. Hasanuddin, Hanafi Rais, Asrul Tanjung, Fernandes, Ahmad Musani, Joko Pujianto, Budi Yosastri, Saiful Bahri, Ahmad Zainuddin, Dimyati Natakusuma, Supriyadin, and Arif Sududiatomo. Deputy Speaker of DPR Agus Hermanto also said that the essence of the Supervisory Board is aimed at strengthening the intelligence agency in Indonesia. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Chairman of Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission KPA Agus Raharjo in a working meeting with the House Commission 3 in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the Law on Corruption Eradication Commission has managed the need to support KPK in its duty. However, according to Agus, KPK may need legislation support on complete law on asset confiscation and law on code of criminal law and the civil law. He also said that his side has to answer written question delivered by House Commission 3 regarding legislation support towards KPK.
Untuk undang-undang KPK sendiri, kami memohon kalau sekiranya
for the time being, the law on KPK is enough to support us operationally, but we need support on completing law on code of criminal law and civil law, as well as the draft asset confiscation law.
Dan KUHAP, serta sebetulnya kalau dimungkinkan RUU perampasan aset.
Besides answering written questions of the House Commission 3, Chairman of KPK Agus Raharjo also stated that KPK is preparing strategy plan for 2015-2019 session by mainly increasing synergy cooperation among ministries and agencies to eradicate corruption, such as by preparing the e-coordination apps. The apps should help consolidating parties and stakeholders to coordinate. During the working meeting, KPK also delivered results and reports to follow-up findings of the audit board during 2015 period. Indonesia military training commander Gatot Nurmantio says that Indonesia is a favorite country for terrorists due to the absence of comprehensive law on terrorism. He explained that many Indonesians went to Syria to join the Islamic State of Iran in Syria, ISIS, and received military training in the country and got away with it when they returned to Indonesia. Currently, there are 9 still waiting for the anti-terrorism law to be revised as a legal basis to wage a war against terrorism. Following Jakarta attacks on Tuesday, last January 14 of 2016, at Jalan MH Tamrin, the government decided to revise Law No. 15/2003 on terrorism. Justice and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lawli said that there were a number of points proposed in the revision. However, Mr. Yasona refused to reveal such points. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said spending by government agency reached 724.7 trillion rupiah, or 91.1% of their total budget of 795.5 trillion rupiah in 2015. He also said that spending grew significantly since the third quarter of 2015, after slowing in the previous quarters as a result of change in the nomenclature of some ministries and other government agencies. He further said that the minister and agency were considered to have succeeded in improving the quality of spending through control and budget revision, which gave priority for more productive activities. He added that there were internal and external factors influencing the budget spending in 2015. The last item, Indonesian racer Rio Haryanto has 1 week left pending the final call in his bid to enter this year's Formula One F1 Grand Prix. The 23-year-old is looking at a UK-based Manor Grand Prix racing team as his possible access to take part in F1. The team has requested that he brings in a 15 million rupiah, or around $16.35 million worth of sponsor fee to secure the 2016 season seat if they agree to let him become a driver for Manor. So far, Rio has only pocketed financial support commitments worth 5.2 million from state oil company Pertamina and 100 billion rupiah, or around $7.2 million, from the Youth and Sport Ministry, funding via the Indonesian Sport Council or KONI. Meanwhile, Youth and Sport Ministry spokesman Gatot Dewa Broto said that Rio would need to deliver a 3 million euro manor to as a down payment to show his seriousness in taking part in Formula One. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled "To Jointly Prevent and Combat Terrorism." Mid-January 2016, Indonesian people and international world were shocked by the occurrence of acts of terror in the heart of Indonesian capital, Jakarta. The question is that whether Indonesian security forces had been missed or terrorists increasingly sought their assistance. Clearly, post-incident act, the Indonesian security forces immediately moved quickly to reveal the case on which there was a claim by the group of Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, to be responsible. Chief of the Indonesian National Police, General Badruddin Haiti, reported that at the end of the last week, 18 people had been arrested and they are determined as a suspect linked to terror in Jakarta. Terrorism is a large-scale crime and Indonesia has undergone the consequences. Terrorism has brought about negative consequences to not only on the victims and their families but also the aspect of economy, especially in tourism and investment. For example, there was a drastic reduction in the number of tourists who came after the Bali bombing in 2002. Thus, the problem of terrorism needs to be dealt quickly and appropriately. Indonesian government has also adopted Law No. 15/2003 on terrorism and formed National Counterterrorism Agency BNPT in 2010. In its activities, BNPT also intensified the deradicalization program such as forming Terrorism Prevention Coordination Forum, FKPT, in 32 provinces. Through the forum, the entire community, including young people, involved to prevent the growth of terrorism. We must recognize that terrorism is not a problem that is easily solved. On one hand, terrorism has a relationship with regard to the problems of life. Welfare, education, and a sense of injustice patterns play major roles to encourage people to be involved into terrorism. On the other hand, terrorism is already a transnational crime. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said earlier in the week that his site identified the plot funds from abroad for terrorist activities in Indonesia. Combating terrorism should be the responsibility of all countries in the world. Preventing and combating terrorism must be jointly dealt with, and it is in accordance with the existing rules or the implementation of the agreed standards. There should be no one country or a group of countries that feel most correct in needs or their assessment and enforcement. Probably such unilateral action may trigger antipathy, on which this will be gradually getting bigger and nourish the seeds of terrorism. These days, the war against terrorism in the world seems more inaction at the level of the surface. Meanwhile, the causing root is never touched. An in-depth analysis is required, and of course, there must be good intention by all stakeholders to address the terrorism, unless the terrorism is aimed at being preserved as a garden that produces fruit for certain interests. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to our program Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred in January 28, 1935, when the Republic of Iceland became the first country to legalize abortion. The Republic of Iceland is an island country in the northern part of the Atlantic Ocean. In January 28, 1935, Iceland became the first country to legalize abortion. The law, which is known as Act No. 38 states that the health of mothers and households can be considered when the condition will permit doctors to perform abortions. The next event was in 1986 when the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster occurred. The Space Shuttle Challenger disaster occurred in January 28, 1986 when the NASA Space Shuttle orbiter broke apart 73 seconds into its flight, leading to the death of its 7 crew members, which included 5 NASA astronauts and 2 pilot specialists. The spacecraft disintegrated over the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Cape Canaveral, Florida, at around 4:39 UTC. Disintegration of the vehicle began after an O-ring seal in its right solid rocket booster, SRB, failed at liftoff. The O-ring failure caused a breach in SRB joint to be sealed, allowing pressurized burning gas from within the solid rocket motor to reach the outside and impinge upon the adjacent SRB at the fuel joint attachment hub and external fuel tank. This led to the separation of the right-hand SRB's at fuel joint attachment and the structural failure of the external tank. Aerodynamic forces broke up the orbiter. The last event was in 1997 when 4 police races of South Africa finally admitted the murder of Stephen Biko. Stephen Bantu Biko was an anti-apartheid activist in South Africa in 1960s and 1970s. A student leader, Stephen Bantu Biko later founded the Black Conciousness Movement, which would empower and mobilize some of the urban black population. Since his death in a police custody, he has been called a martyr or the anti-apartheid movement. While living, his writings and activism attempted to empower black people, and he was famous for his slogan, "Black is Beautiful," which he described as a meaning, meant, "You are okay as you are, begin to look up yourself as a human being." Even though Biko was never a member of African National Congress, ANC, the ANC has included him in the pantheon of struggle heroes, going as far as using his match for campaign poster in South African first non-racial election in 1994. January 28, 1997, when 4 police races of South Africa finally admitted the murder which they did to Stephen Biko 20 years later. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahman.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Well, listener, nice to be with you again in our program, Focus. A rural service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's focus entitled Creative Economy is one of Indonesian competitive sectors to face ASEAN Economic Community. So stay tuned. The pre-market of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, has entered into application for 4 weeks. Competitiveness and quality of Indonesian products must be increased. However, Indonesia also needs to be careful with the entry of foreign products. Responding to this, Chairman of Advisory Council President Wang Tingpres, Sri Adiningsi in Jakarta, asked Indonesian people to be creative to face ASEAN Economic Community, to be competitive with foreign products. According to Sri, Indonesian young people must be creative and will be able to sell their creative products in the ASEAN Economic Community. But they should be supported and paid attention by Indonesian government through the Minister of Cooperative and Small Medium Enterprises, MES, so they can compete with foreign products. Meanwhile, Minister of Finance is not worried about the free trade of ASEAN Economic Community. Precisely, the free trade requires cuts in tax rates and customs duties for imported goods to Indonesia. Deputy Minister of Finance Mardiasmo said the cuts will impact the tax rate in short term of state income, but in the long term, it will be good for Indonesia in the future. This is because if the industry has advanced, income per capita would automatically increase as well. Then tax revenues will also rise. On one hand, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesian participation in trade blocs in the foreign country is necessary. This means that Indonesia is able to compete with other countries, but this makes Indonesia be increasingly encouraged to enter into free trade blocs of America, Europe, and China. Thus, there can be healthy competition. On the other hand, to face ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, Minister of State-Owned Enterprises has instructed all state-owned companies to mutually consolidate. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno explains that synergy will further strengthen the company under state-owned enterprises in Indonesia. So Indonesia doesn't have to be afraid to face the giant companies of ASEAN. But she also is asking to focus on supporting small and medium enterprises such as the National Capital Madani, PNM, Tutung Associate to continue to provide excellent support in the area. ASEAN Economic Community, according to Minister Rini, must be a stepping stone for small and medium enterprises to be more successful in bigger markets. In addition, Minister Rini also asks small and medium enterprises to take advantage of the program carried out by accelerating PNN imports to wider market. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Welcome to headline of some national newspapers today on Thursday, January 28, 2016. Compass Daily, in its headline, writes about capitalist mastering village area. Thousands hectares of village area are currently mastered by financiers. Villagers sold their land because of the lure of money. Government, as a land power controlling authority, also has not felt its presence yet. Instead of giving added economic value, the expansion is structurally marginalized rural communities. Dean of the Faculty of Social and Political Science, Serang Raya University, Abdul Malik, on Wednesday warned the authorities of village land, for the benefit of investment, they should be more marginalized than empowering local communities. The local government intends to encourage investment by prioritizing the main orientation for the regional revenue. However, it is awkward the purchase of rural land cause structural and cultural impoverishment. Media Indonesia writes in its headline about kidney business finally exposed. Directorate of General Crime of Police Criminal Investigation Agency and the Directorate of General Criminal Investigation of West Java Regional Police arrested three syndicate members of kidney sales. They are Jana Priyatna alias Amang, Dedi Supriyadi Oman bin Rahman, and Kok Harry Susanto alias Harry. Police also indicate demand for organs come from the hospital. So far, it has 15 people who already become victims. For them, the suspect offered a kidney selling price around 80 million up to 90 million rupiah. On the other hand, when contacted separately, the Indonesian Medical Council asserted the process of kidney transplantation should not be for commercial purposes. It was in accordance with Article 64 of Law No. 36, Year 2009, on health. Now, Tempo writes in its headline about KPK eyeing 24 Senayan politicians as the last item of today's headline. The Corruption Eradication Commission probes the alleged involvement of some Senayan politicians in the bribery case. One of them, Damayanti Wisnu Putranti, a member of the Infrastructure Commission of the House of Representatives, DPR. They, approximately 24 members of parliament, allegedly linked to road projects involving the suspect Damayanti. KPK Chairman Agus Raharjo said to Tempo, from the investigation, the commission immediately set a number of new suspects, both the bribe giver and the bribe recipients. Signs of the investigation of the case leads to the involvement of other Senayan politicians who began to raid when the commission searched the office of Damayanti's colleagues at the Infrastructure Commission of the House, Budi Suprianto from faction of Golkar
and Yudi Vidyana Adia from PKS. Listener, that was today's headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesia will study possible expansion of cooperation with Iran after lifting of international economic sanction on the Gulf state. Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Sudirman Said stated that Indonesia is considering cooperation with Iran mainly in the development of energy such as oil and gas and renewable energy development. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce of Surabaya, East Java Province, assesses that the city can determine Indonesian ease of doing business ranking in 2017. Deputy Speaker of Indonesian House of Representatives DPR Agus Hermanto explained that supervisory agency of the State Intelligence Board is in line with the law on terrorism that has been passed by the DPR. Chairman of Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission KPK Agus Raharjo in a working meeting with the House Commission 3 in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the Law on Corruption Eradication Commission has managed the need to support KPK in its duty. Indonesian military training commander Gatot Nurmantio says that Indonesia is a favorite country for terrorists due to the absence of comprehensive law on terrorism. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said spending by government agency reached 724.7 trillion rupiah, around 91.1% of their total budget of 795.5 trillion rupiah in 2015. Indonesian racer Rio Haryanto has won with life pending the final call in his bid to enter this year's Formula One Grand Prix. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder. Today we take you to visit Papua. Stay tuned. Listener, Biak Num 4 Agents Regency, salah. Listener, Biak Num 4 Regency, Papua, is developing its tourism potential. Biak Num 4 Regional Government prepared a budget to 7 billion rupiah or $533,000 to build infrastructure Samberpasi Tourism Village. Samberpasi is one of villages in Kepulauan Padaido District, Biak Num 4 Regency. Samberpasi Tourism Village will be developed into maritime tourism object as tourism icon in this area to attract many tourists. Therefore, tourism facilities continue to be built in the area in the form of cottages, roads, housing, port and nautical tourism facilities such as jet ski, scuba gear, clinics and playground. Listener, development of Maritime Tourism Village is done to support tourism destinations Kepulauan Padaido Marine Park and the surrounding. Padaido Island's marine park areas, including Sambar Pasi, is one place which has the greatest biodiversity of coral ecosystems in the world. Coral rock in the archipelago holds 95 species of coral and 155 species of fish, such as various types of reef sharks, octopus, and various other maritime wealth. In addition, this area also has beautiful beaches and a variety of habitats, such as atolls, fringing reefs, and underwater caves. Sambar Pasi Tourism Village has a crystal clear sea. With the naked eye, you will be amazed to see many marine plants, including coral reefs, beautiful fish, and a unique variety of marine life by snorkeling or diving. If you take a walk around the beach in the morning, you will see the beautiful sunrise, and in the afternoon watching the beauty of the sunset. If you're diving in Sambar Pasi water, you cannot be done carelessly and alone. You must be accompanied by a professional diver. Listener, Biak Numfor, which is located in Biak Island, can be reached from various islands in Indonesia by utilizing flight to Frans Kaisepo Airport in Biak. To get to Sambar Pasi, you only takes about 1 hour from Bosnik Port by boat. Or if you want to be more challenging, you can get to Padaido between 3 to 4 hours with a paddle canoe. In addition, Sambar Pasi Tourism Village, Biak Numfor, also provides other marine tourism destinations that can also be enjoyed, namely Impandi Beach, Wari, Korem, Bosnik, or Segara Beaches. Impandi Beach in Andoki Village, Yantidori District, that can be taken during 15 minutes from the Biak City. Wari Beach in Bosnabradi Village, North Biak Sub-District, can be reached approximately 1.5 hours from the town of Biak. But Korem Beach, with a 1 kilometer curved bay area, is about 32 kilometers from the town of Biak. Bosnik Beach or Segara Indah Beach in East Biak Sub-District can be reached 25 minutes from Biak City. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sambar Pasi Tourism Village. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with Virahma. Today's edition presents you the history of tempe. Tempe is food made of soybean, which is originally created by the Indonesian nation. It is unknown when the making of tempe began. However, this traditional food has been known since ages ago, particularly in Javanese eating tradition culture in Yogyakarta and Surakarta, Central Java. The word tempe is assumed to come from ancient Javanese language. In the ancient Javanese era, There was white food made of sagu flour called tumpi. Fresh tempeh, which is also white colored, is similar to tumpi. The word tempeh has been found in chapter 3 and 12 of Serat Centini manuscript with the setting of Java in the 16th century. For instance, the naming of food jahe santan tempeh, tempeh with coconut milk and kadele tempeh serundengan. Another source said that tempeh making began in the era of cultivation system in Java. At that time, Javanese people were forced to use field products like cassava, sweet potato, and soybean as source of food. In the Japanese colonial era in Indonesia, war captives ate tempeh to avoid dysentery and malnutrition. Some researches published in 1940s until 1960s concluded that many prisoners of the Second World War were safe because of tempeh. According to Ong Hok Ham, Chinese-Indonesian historian, tempeh, which is rich in protein, has saved Indonesian people who had relatively low income. In the end of 1960s and early 1970s, there were some changes in the making of tempeh in Indonesia. Tempeh production increased and the industry started being modernized in 1980s. Mostly, it was kopti, or tahu, I should say, Indonesian Tempeh Tahu Craftsman Cooperative, that played a role in it. It was established on March 11, 1979 in Jakarta. Tempeh is mostly eaten in Indonesia, but now tempeh has gone global. Many vegetarians in the world eat tempeh to replace meat. As a result, now tempeh is produced in many places in the world, not only in Indonesia. Tempeh has been popular among Europeans through Dutch people since 1946. Meanwhile, tempeh in the US was popular after it was first made in the country of Uncle Sam in 1958 by Yap Bue Hua, Indonesian who is the first to do scientific research on tempeh. In Japan, tempeh has been researched since 1926, but it started producing commercially in about 1983. In 1984, 18 tempeh companies are noted in Europe, 53 in the US and 8 in Japan. In the West, now people start to love tempeh. Even in the US, tempeh has been sold in big supermarket and some health food kiosks. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the history of tempeh or bean cake. Thank you for listening. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'll present you an Indonesian pop singer, Atik Sebe. Well, listeners, to initiate today's segment of Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Maafkan by Atik Sebe. Happy listening. Listener Atik Sebe was born on May 25, 1963, with her original name, Atik Prasetyawati. She grew up in her native region, Kediri. She has a good talent to sing. From her prominent talent, then she tried to get experience of music career until finally she came to a music recording. Atik presents melancholic songs, such as Maafkan and Risau, which are warmly accepted by the music lovers. Atik Sebe became popular among fans of Indonesian pop songs in the era of 80s. With her simple appearance, with sunglasses, become her trademark in her every performance. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Risau Pa by Atik Sebe. Happy listening. Enjoy the song. After the success of her first album, Atiq Sibi collaborated with a number of senior artists, among others Malida and Faris RM. From the collaboration, they made collaboration album, such as the song Nur Lela and Kusadari, that were also accepted by music lovers in the year 80s to 90s. However, after that, she already no longer active as a singer. She is now focused on care of her family. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Nur Lela and Kusadari by Atiq Sibi. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Nur Lela, ngeleng
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Dimana, oh dimana, kau berada kini? Lama ku mencarimu setengah mati.
Setahun sudah ku menanti, namun semua sia-sia.
Ku sadari semua adalah salahku. Mengapa aku dulu benci padamu?
Lupakan cerita yang dulu. Mari kita coba lagi.
Sebenarnya aku cinta kepada dirimu kasih. Ku sadari semua karena diriku. Sesungguhnya aku mau kau berada.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.